lads and lasses. Yes, here we are again, ready to dip into the fun battle for yet another 45 minutes to three quarters of an hour of fun, laughter, joy. And what are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I wasn't listening. Oh. Sing it again. It's one of your best songs, huh?
I wasn't singing.
Oh?
What were those funny movements you were doing there?
Oh, well, I was looking down, you see.
Yes.
Thinking to myself, what a beautiful piece of mechanism legs are.
Yes, legs are, yes.
Yes, I know that.
What are you trying to say?
Well, you see, yeah. As I walked on, mm-hmm. I looked down and I said to myself, as I walked on that tumultuous ovation,
yes,
that we should have got. Mm. I walked down and I said to myself, Eric, you are walking on two of nature's miracles.
Well, I know.
I said that.
I know that.
Well, you know that because you are an educated man. That's why you know. How many A-levels have you got?
Well, I'd rather not say. It sounds like boasting.
I think it's time you did a bit of boasting. Let's be honest, how many A-levels have you got?
I deny myself the pleasure.
You always have. Be honest, how many A-levels have you got?
23.
23 A-levels, ladies and gentlemen, this boy. 23 A-levels in mathematics.
That's right.
Am I right?
Well, 17 A-levels in mathematics and another two making 23.
In maths?
In maths, yes.
Oh.
What was it you wanted to ask me, Eric?
Well, I'd like you to work out, if you will, for me, a problem in your head to prove your ability as a great mathematician.
Anytime you like.
Thank you. Are you ready?
Yes.
I have tuppence in this pocket and tuppence in that pocket.
Yes.
How much have I got?
Two tuppences.
Without a moment's hesitation. How many A-levels?
23.
23 A-levels.
And an O-level.
I can tell by the shape of your legs. Another question.
You're still not convinced.
I just want to prove to the unseen dozens of viewers what a genius you are on a stick.
Oh, thank you very much.
Right there. Are you ready?
Yes.
Now, this is a difficult one.
It's a difficult one, is it?
Yes. There, would you like a blindfold for it?
Blindfold?
Yes.
Oh, no, thank you. No. Just give me the mathematical problem. No problems.
All right, then. Can you divide 45,000...
I think I'd better have the blindfold.
You're going to play safe?
Yes, please. Yes,
I don't blame you. Mm. It is a difficult question.
Right. Okay.
Can you... It's not too tight, is it?
No.
Just thought of that. Yeah. Can you divide 45,000 acres with a Fahrenheit?
Yes.
And have you, Ernie Wise, got the correct answer?
I most certainly have.
This boy is brilliant, didn't I tell you?
Thank you.
That was a tricky one, wasn't it?
Oh, very tricky, that one.
Some of them are, you know.
Yes, I know.
I help you, you help me, and that's the way it goes. Right now, answer this one. How many full stops are there in a bottle of ink?
49,224.
Or one very large one. Boom. That's very kind.
Good morning, you're listening to Maze Alternative Radio. I thought I'd let Eric and Ernie kick us off there as it was the they were introducing their own show. I thought they may as well introduce mine as well. It's Eric Monaghan here with Monaghan's Time Machine. New programme, new studio, lots of things happening, lots of things to tell you. And the plan of attack here is quite simple. We're going to play music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and, as they horribly call it, the noughties, with a brief dip into the 50s occasionally, but rather than sort of say, right, well, this week we're going to do 50s music or 70s music or whatever, this is the plan. Hope you enjoy it and I hope it works. You must let me know if it does or doesn't, but we're going to start off in 1960, then go 70, 80, 90, 2000, back to 61, 71, 81, 91, 01, etc. and kick the show off with something from the 50s. I've got lots of things to tell you. They say that a week is a long time in politics, and it's certainly a long time in the radio world. There's been lots happening, and hopefully all the controls work exactly the same as they do in the other studio. We'll soon find out when I click things and nothing happens. So, kicking the show off, 1959, it's Marty Wilde and Teenager in Love.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart, 'cause I am so afraid that we will have to part. Each night I ask the must I be a teenager in love? One day I feel so happy, next day I feel so sad. I guess I'll learn to take the good with the bad. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? I cried a tear for nobody but you. I'll be a lonely one if you should say we're through. Now if you wanna make me cry, that won't be so hard to do. And if you should say goodbye, I'll still go on loving you. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? I cried a tear for nobody but you. I'll be a lonely one if you should say what's true. Now if you wanna make me cry, that won't be so hard to do. And if you should say goodbye, I'll still go on loving you. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? Why must I be a teenager in love?
In love.
In love.
About you night and day, Colette. How I need you, Colette. Don't let us part, you break my heart, Colette. So you walk in close by, didn't start talking cause it was so shy. Then you looked into my eyes, don't wanna whisper any goodbyes, Colette. Don't forget, Colette, I need you so, don't ever go, Colette. Half past nine, ain't on time, yes, you played me down the line, Colette. How I loved you, Colette, you broke a vow.
Sons of Davis Group, the Walker Brothers, the Moody Blues, all your golden oldies on 192.
Veronica, remember.
You left me young, I don't tell myself.
1970 sound of Johnny Johnson and the Bandwagon, Blame It on the Pony Express, and that apparently got to number 7. Before that we had, from 1960, you see how it works now, Billy Fiore Colette. That was released on the 29th of January 1960, highest position of number 9, and was 10 weeks in the chart. Of course, that 1970 track, that would have been 1 year just before the Morecambe and Wise clip you had, which was from 1971. Now, I'm in New Studios, Studio 9 as it's now been officially designated, and this is where I've probably mentioned in the past about Dave Simpson's Barnoldswick recording studio, where he has live artists in and gets them to record things, some of which are still yet to appear on the station, but attached to that is now a new studio for me, and that's thanks to two very unselfish people on the radio station who I actually accused of being on holiday in Egypt, John Freeman and Tony Hayes. Basically what's happened is, while they were in Egypt, they came up with a bit of a deal supporting the station, which will become obvious to you later on, and as part of that, this new studio has been, it still smells of paint, and I'm still getting used to all the controls and the microphones and things, so I hope everything is loud enough. And what we're going to do program wise is, we're going to have the Music Time Machine every other week, and then the International Music Mix every other week in between. So those who like the traditional Eric Monaghan show won't be missing out. Doctor Who will still be on at 11 o'clock, and as you may be aware, over the excellent Christmas and New Year broadcast that we did, which were very well supported, thank you very much, I was rather jinxed. My Christmas Day show crashed, and then my programmes for the 2nd and 9th of January went out the wrong way round, which Jackie Frost has assured me will never happen again. She staked her reputation on it. So the Doctor Who's went out the wrong way. So we've got an extended Doctor Who at 11 o'clock today, but Doctor Who will continue. And then the other great thing that Tony Hayes and John Freeman have organised is that we have our next sci-fi adventure lined up, and there is a possibility before the end of this year of introducing sport to the Eric Monaghan show, and that's thanks to John and Tony as well. So we're going to carry on now, and for those of you who've already guessed it, we're going to be going to 1980, track that reached number 11, ELO, All Over the World. Betty Boo from 1990. That cut to number 3. You've probably also guessed that I'm a bit jingleless. So I've actually borrowed some jingles from other radio stations that may be suitable, hence the Veronica ident that you had before. But hopefully over the coming weeks we'll sort that out. And the other thing I've done, I'd printed off our schedule for today and I've gone and left it on the kitchen table, so that'll be rapping on the knuckles for me. I'm fairly certain it's John Freeman on after me at 11:30, so you can look forward to him. Year 2000 now, before we go back to 1961. That's why it's the time machine, you see, because you're going backwards and forwards in time. I thought it was a good idea anyway. Group called Top Loader, Dancing in the Moonlight.
Speelplaat van de week. When the mists are rising and the rain is falling and the wind is blowing cold across the moor, I hear the voice of my darling, the girl I love and lost a year ago. It's hard to believe, I know, but I hear her singing in the sign of the wind, blowing in the treetops way above me. Yes, I'll always remember till the day I die. Johnny, remember me. Well, someday I guess I find myself another little girl to take the place of my true love. But as long as I live, I know I'll hear her singing in the sight of the wind, blowing in the treetops way above me.
Just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there to pull you out. And you know what I'm talking about. So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime.
Back there that enjoyed very similar success. That was Altered Images' Happy Birthday from 1981, got to number 2, and from 1971, Lynn Anderson's Rose Garden got to number 3. And we kicked it all off 1961, Johnny Late and Johnny Remember Me. And I do know why, but I won't bore you with the story, but it always reminds me of Egremont Pier, that record. That's Egremont Pier on the Wirral and not in Cumbria. Different Egremont altogether. Now, whenever you make any sort of progress and having a brand new studio that's still smelling of paint, and there's always these sort of little downsides, little luxuries that you get used to that you tend to take for granted. I arrived here about sort of 50 minutes early because I wanted to configure everything and make sure everything worked the same, because you know how it is that things don't work quite the same when you go into a different studio. New set of headphones, brand new. I think my head must have grown, or these are slightly smaller than the ones I've been used to, and just getting the microphone in the right place to get the best effect as far as people listening out there. And I made myself a cup of tea and sat down, and of course I've just been thinking, I would have had another two by now when I was in Jackie Frost's studio, and with the absence of John Freeman, of course, there's no cooked breakfasts. And as you probably gathered, the chicken and the cow are here, but that's the only one you're going to hear. Just thought I'd throw that in because they were here supporting me, and it's actually, as far as MAR goes, it's two of the three jingles I've got. And just in case you tuned in and wonder what all this I'm rabbiting on about is, it's Merseyland Alternative Radio, mar@rock.com. Now we're going to move on now to 1991. Didn't do so well as the previous two tracks, only got as far as number 9, high as number 9. It's Martika and Love Thy Will Be Done. on MAR.
Saturday night.
I'm telling you.
jiving all night long. Little dog got a feeling something's wrong. Cause it ain't right to wanna keep on dancing. There won't be any time left for romancing. Come outside, come outside. There's a lovely moon out there. Come outside, come outside. While we got time to spare. Little doll, it seems ages since we kissed. Little doll, think of all the fun we've missed. Cause it ain't right to wanna keep on dancing. There won't be any time left for romancing. Come outside.
What for?
Come outside.
What's the rush?
There's a lovely moon out there.
It's cold outside.
Come outside.
Why?
Come outside.
You do keep on.
While we got time to spare.
Oh, what another twist.
Now I went and promised your old man that we'd be home about half past ten. Seems we got just one more jive, then we'll be starting home again. Come outside.
Get lost.
Come outside.
Go and ask Lil.
There's a lovely moon out there.
Go off, people.
Come outside.
Give over.
Oh, come outside.
Belt up.
While we got time to spare.
Why don't you listen to the beat?
Little doll, I know the band ain't bad. Little doll, I'm a getting kind of mad. Cause it ain't right to wanna keep on dancing. There won't be any time left for romancing. Come outside.
Lay off.
Come outside.
Shopping.
There's a lovely moon out. Come outside.
All right.
Come outside.
Not for too long.
While we got time for a bit of slap and tickle,
I'll
over.
I'll slap and tickle you in a
I'll
minute.
Come out for a bit of snot, eh, darling?
Cool, you don't need a shave.
You're not a little marvellous here,
eh?
1962, Mike Sarn and Come Outside. And I think that's probably where Judge Dredd got his from. I definitely remember the Judge Dredd one. I don't remember the Mike Sarn track. 49 years later, before that, Atomic Kitten and Hole Again, and we kicked it all off with Marquita. Now, Doctor Who fans, about 10 minutes away from the extended Doctor Who, apologies if you're not a Doctor Who fan, because it is an extended one, so we can get the episodes that were in the wrong order in the right order. So it may be time to go off and make some toast or tea if you're not a Doctor Who fan, but we are making excellent progress with this story now at Merseyland Alternative Radio. And as that was 1962, then you probably guessed that we're now going to 1972, Johnny Cash and A Thing Called Love.
Six foot six, he stood on the ground. He weighed 235 pounds. But I saw that giant of a man brought down to his knees by love. He was the kind of a man that would gamble on luck, look you in the eye and never back up. But I saw him crying like a little whipped pup because of love. You can't see it with your eyes, hold it in your hand, but like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, never let you down, take your world and turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love. Like me, they struggle in doubt. They trouble their minds day in and day out. Too busy with living to worry about a little word like love. But when I see a mother's tenderness as she holds her young close to her breast, then I thank God that the world's been blessed with a thing called love. You can't see it with your eyes, hold it in your hand, but like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, never let you down, take your world and turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love.
Stop.
1982 sound of Wham and Young Guns. That got to number 3. The Johnny Cash song before that from 1972 got to number 4. And if you've already guessed, After the Doctor will be in 1992. Now, I've just been thinking here, in the first 58 minutes of the show, we've had 14 different songs. And the other day I was waiting for somebody, and because I'd taken my CDs out of the car, the radio was on, and it was left on 1395, which is Big L. And I quite like Big L, I like the sound and the mix of music they play, but the Emperor was on there, that's Roscoe, not the better one, Rogers. And in 15 minutes he waffled on about different things and played two tracks. And what made me smile more than anything was that he was talking about country, and Elvis has reissued Suspicious Minds, a remix of it for the country market. And he actually said, "I'll be back after this break," and then played the song, which he considered to be the break. And I just thought, well, that's not my idea of enjoyable radio. Anyway, it's Ambassadors of Death. Sort of three parts together, bit of catch up, and let's see how the Doctor's getting on, shall we?
Through the thick glass panel, Lennox watches Regan heave the fallen figure to its feet and sits it down on the slab next to its recumbent fellows. Curious, Regan tries to discern a face through the darkened visor of the astronaut's helmet, which is misted with condensation. Unsuccessful, he goes to remove it. The figure flails violently, hurling Regan aside with unexpected force. As Regan lies dazed, the figure lumbers towards the unlocked door. Lennox backs away in terror.
It's all right. I want to help you.
The towering figure advances implacably towards him.
Can't you understand? I want to help you.
Panic-stricken, Lennox dodges back around the console. He scurries up the steps to the exit. The figure follows. Lennox tries the door, but it's locked. Lennox turns and flattens himself against the door as his pursuer reaches him and stretches out a hand. But the effort has proven too great. Slumping back, the figure tumbles down the steps. Regan staggers from the isolation chamber.
You shouldn't have locked this door. I might have been killed.
Shut up. Help me get him back in there. Hello? All right, I'll take care of him. Listen, about those astronauts. Isotopes. Well, you'd better get them over here.
I found out what's wrong with these fellas.
They don't need less radiation, they need more.
At the gravel pit, the crane operator unearths a gruesome discovery. Wearing protective clothing, Lennox is in the isolation chamber, using a pair of tongs to lift a rod of metal, an isotope, from its shielded canister. Gingerly, he inserts the isotope into a retainer situated on the slab by the helmet of the middle space-suited figure. All three figures lie unmoving. He comes back into the laboratory. Regan bolts the door firmly shut.
I must have all stages in go condition as soon as possible, so get on with it.
Cornish slams down the phone.
In trouble? Everything's taking just a little bit longer than it should.
Why do you think that is?
It's got something to do with Sir James Quinlan. Could you prove it?
No.
Lennox removes his protective helmet.
I feel as if I just murdered them.
You just keep doing what you're told. They'll be all right. Who is it? All right, I'll open the front door.
Look!
What is it?
It's working!
Regan looks through the glass. The figures are beginning to stir.
I told you they'd be all right. They thrive on the stuff.
The Brigadier is on the phone.
What? Yes, I see. Right, I'll get right down there.
He turns to the Doctor.
Two bodies have been found in a gravel pit in Hertfordshire. They died from radiation.
As he returns down the bunker steps, Regan rips open a large buff envelope and assimilates the contents.
Hey, Lennox. You're a kind of a scientist. Do you know these two?
Lennox inspects photographs of the Doctor and Liz.
Yes, I think I met the girl once. She was doing research at Cambridge. Why?
Seems like they're getting in the way. I'll need to deal with them.
fully suited up, the Doctor is leaning inside the radioactive interior of Recovery 7, holding a Geiger counter. Cornish and Liz observe from a distance.
That's the most extraordinary thing. The radioactive contamination has almost vanished. If you can't get Recovery 8 ready in time, you can use this capsule.
Provided we can get the 3,000 tons of rockets to go underneath it.
A unit messenger enters and gives Liz a note.
Who's it from?
Brigadier. He wants us to go down to Hertfordshire to look at those bodies.
A bit morbid.
Are you coming?
No, I'm going to stay and get this capsule fully operational.
Sitting behind the wheel of Bessie, Liz emerges from the space headquarters entrance tunnel, passes through the security checkpoint and drives out onto the main road. As she passes by, a Ford Capri driven by Regan turns out of a side street and begins to tail her.
Doctor?
The Doctor is still up the access ladder, peering inside the hatch of Recovery 7. The Brigadier taps him with his swagger stick.
You're back soon.
Well, I started back an hour ago.
But Liz has gone to meet you. We received a message asking us to join you. You didn't send it?
I'll get after her.
As she checks her rearview mirror, Liz becomes aware that the Ford Capri is tailing her. Panicking, she accelerates, but the other car matches her speed. Approaching a crossroads, Liz spins the steering wheel and the yellow roadster takes the tight corner at breakneck pace. Moments later, the Capri screeches after her. Bessie is surprisingly nippy, and Liz handles her like an expert, but little by little she is losing ground. Regan begins to swerve his car back and forth across the empty road, attempting to overtake and force Liz to stop. Skillfully, Liz mirrors his manoeuvres, determined not to let her pursuer pass. Suddenly, a lorry looms into view, travelling from the opposite direction. Liz brakes and veers back into her lane, narrowly avoiding collision. At last, this gives Regan an opportunity to pull ahead. The lorry zooms by and Regan slams his foot down and overtakes. He cuts in front of Liz and she is forced to slam on her brakes to stop. Two of Regan's heavies leap from the Capri and run towards Liz. She jumps out of Bessie and makes for the adjacent rugby field, desperately searching for help or cover. The men give chase. Liz reaches the other side of the field. Behind a line of trees, she can hear a river. Stretching across the fast-flowing waters, she spies a narrow and treacherous catwalk. Clutching the single guardrail, she begins to cross. The heavies are almost on her. She turns and now realizes that she's standing over a deep and turbulent weir. She presses forward, hoping to reach the other bank, but the leading heavy grapples her. Liz fights back. She swings at him wildly, and the man slips, just grasping the catwalk's edge as he plunges over. The second heavy makes a grab. Losing her balance, Liz is somersaulted over the railing.
Thank you.
races halfway across the narrow and treacherous weir. Clutching the catwalk single guardrail, she pauses to catch her breath. The two heavies are almost on her. She presses forward, but the first heavy grapples her. She swings at him wildly, and the man slips, grasping the catwalk's edge as he plunges over. As the second heavy makes a grab, Liz loses her balance and somersaults over the railing. Holding on as she falls, she dangles over the raging waters. The Ambassadors of Death. By David Whittaker. Episode 4. The first heavy pulls himself back up onto the catwalk. He joins his accomplice, who is reaching over the railings to hold onto one of Liz's arms. He takes her other arm, and they slowly manage to hoist her to safety. Still in shock, Liz is led back to the car, where Regan stands waiting.
Let go of my arm, you're hurting me!
Hey! Regan has taken Liz back to his base.
I've brought you some company.
I thought they told you to get both of them.
No, he wouldn't keep the appointment. She's a scientist, she can give you a hand.
Dr. Lennox!
Somebody remembers you. How are our zombie friends?
Surviving, but only just.
I didn't expect them to be dancing a jig. Start making yourself useful.
What if I don't?
I might just lock you in there with them.
In the Brigadier's Unit HQ office.
Well, I've issued Miss Shaw's description to every police force in the country.
Why? You expect her to be wandering the streets?
No, sir. Just a formality.
Now, you took the liberty of examining the things found on the bodies of those two men.
They should have gone to forensics, sir, untouched.
No need for that. Forensics can't tell us anything we can't see for ourselves. Look, newspaper cutting in a foreign language.
The doctor's been quietly examining Heldorf's papers.
Anyone can buy a foreign newspaper, General.
What about this comb, then, with the maker's imprint on it in the same language?
The doctor rises from his desk and crosses to Carrington. Ostentatiously, he delves in a pocket and produces a jeweler's eyeglass. Fitting it to his eye, he takes the comb and scrutinizes it.
Very remiss of them, keeping this.
It could have been planted, sir.
No, the only people who could set up an organization of this size would be foreign agents with enormous resources behind them.
And hair combs.
They want to use the radiated astronauts as a weapon.
I've told you where your astronauts are, General. They're still in orbit.
That's ridiculous.
Is it? When your Professor Heldorf had the aliens in his care, he started to record some sort of radio communication impulses.
Astronauts do have walkie-talkies in their helmets, you know.
Then why didn't Heldorf talk to them?
Yes, well, perhaps he was recording the level of radioactivity in their bodies.
Yes, well, I don't think so. Well, I'm going down to the Space Center. Use the computer. I trust your man Taltalian won't hold a gun on me this time.
Doctor, nothing is to be gained by deciphering these impulses. Our objective should be to find the missing astronauts.
General, how many times must I tell you? Your astronauts are still in orbit. My objective is to find out what these aliens are trying to say to us.
At Space Headquarters.
Number 8.
Deeply dip about the curve you got. Deeply hot, hot for the curve you got. Deeply dip about the fun we had. Deeply mad, mad for the fun we had. Oh, my love, I can't make head nor tail of passion. Oh, my love, let's set sail for seas of passion now. Deeply dip about the way you walk, a contact sport. Let the neighbors talk. Deeply dippy, I'm your Superman. I'll explain, you're my Lois Lane. Oh, my love, I can't make head nor tail of passion. Oh, my love, let's set sail for seas of passion. dippy about your Spanish eyes. Sierra smile, legs that go on for miles and miles. Oh, see those legs, man. Miles and miles. I said, oh, my love, can't make head nor tail of passion. Set sail for seas of passion. Oh, my love, I can't make head nor tail of passion. Oh, my love, so let's set sail for seas of passion now. I'm taking a hike to Tahiti.
So is the Doctor right? Are the aliens up in space? Find out next week at 11 a.m. And as the jingle indicated, that was a number one. It was Right Said Fred, Deeply Dippy, number one in 1992. From 2002, this is the Doves and There Goes the Fear, and it's Monahan's Music Time Machine with about 15 minutes to go.
starts all over again. Put out the candle and tomorrow it burns bright again. But when I lost you, it could never be put right again. What can I do? My memory won't let go of you. I can't forget you. And that's what love will do. That's what love.
Coca-Cola, with that taste you'd never get tired of. One.
Well, we're into the threes now, and that was 1973, The Sweet Ballroom Blitz got to number two. Before that, 1963, Joe Brown and the Broovers, That's What Love Will Do. And that was the final track, The Sweet, on the Eric Monahan's Music Time Machine. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you do have a moment, just send me an email, marrock.com. Let me know what you thought of it. Next week it's the International Music Mix, and then that means that we'll kick off the next Music Time Machine in 2 weeks' time in 1983. So that just leaves me time to say thanks to everybody, all the production team, all the supporters, and I hope you stay with us for the rest of the day. We are on till midnight tonight. Plenty of excellent DJs coming up. It just leaves me time to say goodbye.
Gitty,
John de Gaarsbeek,
Chris de Man,
Koos Versteeg,
Art Weijing,
Rudy Nijhuis.
Teach in, bedankt Radio Veronica. Old friend, goodbye.
Old friend, it has to be the last time. Veronica, we know you started 14 years ago. You played so many, many records. Do you remember? Teach-in is here to stay, you need.